Welcome to Global Investment Voice, where we explore investment migration issues and opportunities from around the world. With a special focus on the U.S. EB-5 Immigrant Investor Program, we'll also cover citizenship and residency by investment programs from around the globe. If you're an investor, fund manager, developer, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of these global investment migration programs, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host attorneys, Mona Shaw and Rebecca Singh, as well as other investment migration leaders from around the world. So let's get into Global Investment Voice. Wow, Mona, Rebecca, episode 200. We are here. We've made it.
It's only taken us about 8 years.
Yeah, 8 years.
It's a long journey.
We started in 2016 when podcasts were relatively new, and there were certainly none in the EB-5 space.
I always tell you, I was like, I wished we had thought of podcasts long before. With so many topics and changes, even within the EB-5 program, it would have been nice to have started, you know, when we first got into the industry.
Well, that would have been a long time back, 2007, as far as the EB-5 industry is concerned. But, you know, here's the thing, Mark. At that time, podcast listening wasn't as big as it is today. And even today, I do still feel it's a certain group of people who do listen to podcasts. But we have seemed to be able to cross the spectrum just because of the, just because of our topics.
Well, I think it's because we have a lot of micro topics, and there's been a lot of changes to the EB-5 program. And then not only EB-5, I mean, we've hit so many different types of other programs and other areas that may come into effect with EB-5.
Yeah, we finally transitioned to the title of Global Investment Voice after being EB-5 Investment Voice, even though for so many years we have actually been discussing the global world and not just America, although we are obviously America-centric.
Yeah, we haven't neglected any country. I mean, even when we look back through our journey for this podcast that we're recording today, I forgot about discussions that we did with the UK visa back in 2016. That was one of our first topics. We've also discussed the Canadian program, the Hong Kong program. I mean, we've had so many different types of programs, even before we got into the Caribbean programs and all the other European programs out there.
Well, actually, Rebecca, EB-5 is really quite unlike any of the other global programs that you mentioned. I know we've discussed Caribbean. We've discussed many of the other worldwide programs. But EB-5 is such a difficult area, and it's not a single area either. It's a mix, it's a blend of corporate, of securities. We discuss marketing, we discuss so many different areas, and which is why we've managed to develop the series with so many micro topics and the opinions of industry specialists, even if it conflicts with our own.
Yeah, well, as we were saying earlier, the EB-5 program is different from, or was different. I mean, we're going to see changes, you know, we'll discuss changes throughout, but it wasn't a program where you just easily gave your money and you got the green card. We've had debates about that, right? About it being, were you buying the green card? But as we've seen throughout the years and through our discussions, it's not. There's so many hoops that you have to jump through, whether you're a project developer, whether you're an investor. I mean, Mona, how many RFEs, NOIDs, denials we've seen through this program and what's required by USCIS to get that approval.
Right.
And many of those become podcast topics.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because you know why? It's easier for the listener to understand. Mm-hmm. When you're writing, yes, you can articulate it, but whether or not somebody really wants to understand that article. But when you're speaking about it, and when you're chatting, and when we're complaining, I think it resonates better with the audience.
I think it does as well. You know, that question always comes out, why did we get into podcasts? A lot of people think we're lawyers, we write a lot, and we continue to write, but it just has a different spark to the conversations. I think as well as to those, our listeners out there, I also think a lot of listeners are multitasking. So podcasts become an easier outlet that you can listen to on your commute. You can listen to it as you're cleaning the house, exercising. So I think it's a good medium to get other listeners. A lot of times.
Sorry, that made me laugh. I was thinking of doing the workout to some of the security laws podcasts. maybe it's good to listen to it when you go to bed. It'll put you asleep.
But it sparks debate as well. I mean, how many times have we had where, you know, you get a different opinion on certain subjects? So I think it's a really good way for listeners to get it broadens their horizon, right? It gets more topics out there, more opinions out there. And because EB5 was so ever-changing, it was a good way too for even listeners from DC. We know congressional leaders were listening into this. So it just got the word out there.
You know, we've even changed the way we describe EB5. It's just not immigration at all. It has its own little sort of hole. And I think that this is something that people need to understand, especially from overseas, because they talk to consultants. And we've discussed this on our podcast, how consultants versus lawyers, who are the best people to go to. Consultants tend to be narrower because they don't have that broad understanding. And then suddenly they come into EB5 and it's not like other programs where you're just buying a piece of property and you're showing a few bank statements. Mm-hmm. It's not like that at all.
Well, I think that's where discussing the different types of projects that were out there, in all, like, you know, we think about law, but it's not just law, right?
Did we ever discuss law?
I know. I was saying, there's so much that goes into it. Even common sense, you know, why do you choose a project? How do you get your money back? All those types of episodes. But Mona, I think one of the good points you brought out earlier was just, you know, marketing. It's such an integral part of EB5 and that it became, you know, it came into many of our episodes.
It did. And again, going back to projects, we've seen how we've tried to introduce other projects other than big real estate over the years, but it hasn't. It's always been the big real estate which have dominated. But you're going to see, Mark, there are going to be changes. We have major new things, new industries coming into the space, big, huge $1 billion data centers, quantum physics type of projects, you know, things that will, yeah, exactly. And again, I don't know whether it's called marketing as to discuss the different types of projects. I don't class that as marketing. I call that really educating because I feel like the investor really needs to know. When you talk about marketing, Rebecca, we're talking about which country is the country of the season? Are we looking at China? Are we looking at India? Because for such a long time, it was China who dominated everywhere.
Yep.
And I think they were the most downloads came from China
in the
one
very
time,
beginning.
Mark.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and that was great, Mark, because you kept us up to date on knowing where our audience were coming from. You know, one year it was China and then another. Then we saw the shift of 2017, 2018 when India took over. And of course, that was the time where China was in backlog and India was going through EB2, EB3 was in backlog. So India jumped for EB5. So it was kind of interesting to see the shift in our podcast series, along with the changes with the EB5 program with the countries.
And then we wanted to see where the shift was with the new law. And remember, the program had been quiet for some years with a year out. Oh my goodness, there's so much happened. And then we opened the doors again, and then we want to see, are we back in 2015 or have we changed?
The things that we've seen, it felt like, you know, it goes back to this marketing and that every time USCIS came out with a new deadline, you know, 2015, 2012, from since 2012.
Well, Rebecca, it wasn't USCIS. To be fair, from 2015 to 2019, what did we face? We fated, I mean, Mark was sick of us saying, the amount is just about to go up. It's going to change, right?
I remember that. We kept waiting. It's going to go up. It's going to go up. Yep.
Yeah. We had five draft legislations go through, and each one was pulled down by different factions. Because here is the thing. It's a lot more complicated than just being a little corporate, a little immigration, a little securities. Within the whole EB5 infrastructure, you have factions, you have big projects, you have people who have their interests in one particular area. So they will make sure they lobby like crazy and push for that. And that's what we saw from 2015 to 2019 We saw these multiple legislation drafts, and we saw how certain regional centers who paid the lobbyists a lot of money, they got these knocked out one after one. And there was a common thread throughout. And the common thread was the big word, Rebecca, DEA.
Yes.
Because the rest of the country were annoyed how all the money seemed to be going into the big cities. And New York was one of them.
Yes, we've seen a lot of debates and issues with that. I mean, you know, with even from Grassley, even congressional, you know, leaders who came in and were looking for funds to go into the rural areas. Look at where we are today.
Well, nobody was listening to a lot of them. After all of those multiple legislation drafts, we ultimately resulted in the 2019 regulations, which were actually Obama regulations. But those didn't last too long.
No.
We then had COVID, and then the Behring case, which challenged the regulations.
Yes.
And those regulations then were knocked out, and we were back at the 500 level after jumping up to 900. And then that was about 3 weeks. And then what happened?
Yeah, the shutdown of the regional center program.
Well, and we had the golden age of the pool direct for a few months.
Yes, we did. And then, look, it took us, all the way to March 2022 when we finally got the legislation.
And it didn't end there.
No.
We got the legislation in March. And if you recall, USCIS decided that everybody had to re-designate.
Yes.
And nobody could get out there. And so here we go, another piece of another fight.
Yeah, I know. It's like never ending, is it?
Litigation, you mean?
Litigation. Yeah. And I mean, hasn't that been a theme of this podcast series? I mean, since we started, we've had, you know, titles like Sue the Bastards and, you know, of where it's just like, it has been, it's been litigation. And I mean, even today, we continue to have litigation happening.
Right. Well, we have some interesting topics coming up, Mark. We have learned one thing, though. Sometimes we've jumped into a topic too early and we've had a podcast on it too early before we've really seen what has been developed. So we've learned over the years, sometimes it's better to wait and be patient, get a bigger story. And also, who are the right people to speak on different topics? Because it hasn't just been myself and Rebecca all these years. We've had multiple guests from all over the place.
We have.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mona, I couldn't agree with you more in that you could get news out there. All right. A lot of podcast series or a lot of articles are written just to give you what came out, what happened. Here's the news in 2 seconds. But what I like about how we're different and the podcast series has taken a different range of is that we actually think about it. And we have had, like you said, we have guest speakers who could come on and give more information about these topics. And not only just providing the information, but also, like, I'll keep saying it, like the debates and the fire, because more like a fireside chat versus just interviewing someone and just basic yes, no, here are some questions and a basic outline of what's happening. I think we've gotten a lot of remarks on how they've enjoyed us putting these discussions out there.
Well, yes. And I think, again, it takes a lot of effort. We spent quite some time. We were asked, Mark, how long we spend in putting these podcasts together. And it does take us time because it's not that we don't know the topic. We know the topic often too well. We have to rein ourselves in. It's just it's just deciding how we are going to present it, what should we present. And again, sometimes we have to be politically correct. We would love to give our opinions, and we have been. We slide our opinions in now and again, but there are times when we say we love to be politically correct, but I think we've really let it out against USCIS at times.
Oh, yes. And didn't you say, Mona, someone said what they really liked about it as well is that we tell it as it is.
Right. We let that slip out. But we have been extraordinarily blessed with an honor to have some of the guests that we've had on the show.
Yes. I mean, we've had, you know, guests from stemming from, you know, someone like Jesse Jackson. And then we've had our big time, you know, Ira Kurzband, top immigration attorneys out here.
The giants of the industry.
We've also had USCIS leaders who have come onto the program, and we've had discussions with them as well.
Right. We had Leon Rodriguez. He served as, I think he was a director of, they called it director of USCIS, but it was really before they changed it over to the IPO. And as well as, or was he just USCIS? I can't recall. But I know that Maury Berez was definitely IPO. Yeah. He was chief of the EB-5 program manager. That's what they called it back in the day.
Yes. And it was interesting because we had both of them on after they have left USCIS. And it was just really nice to hear their viewpoint when they were directors of the program.
Yeah. And within the program, obviously, we have tried to stick with our trade association a lot, IAUSA. Mm-hmm. We had Peter Joseph. Of course, we've had Aaron Grau on for quite some time.
Yes.
We haven't had a lot of people, though, from these trade associations.
No, but we've had a lot of people from different aspects of the EB-5 program. So we've had developers, we've had immigration attorneys, we had securities attorneys, because as we said, it's not just immigration law. We've had directors, we've had, you know, and then of course, we've had others from the Caribbean, you know, global programs, which I think we're seeing a shift to that more so. Obviously, EB-5 is still going to be our main focus, but we're seeing more of a shift to global programs now.
Oh, and interestingly, Mark, I have to share this with you. As you know, every now and again, we do throw in a podcast which is a little different. And do you recall doing one with those Emmy-winning journalists on...
I do.
...with the Frontline Show? Well, that particular show won an Emmy.
Oh, wow.
And after it won an Emmy, for some reason, they found out about our podcast, and we had a lot of pokes onto that. That's what our IT people were telling us.
Yeah, so like you said, Mona, we've had so many different subjects. And that, again, too, was not, it was something that we were interested in, right? Women in Afghanistan, it was a documentary that just came out that we thought it was a great idea to pull that out. But I mean, we've had, I mean, all sorts of topics because EB-5, you know, we talk a lot about the projects and the developers, but you forget from the investor side, we have source of funds. And then source of funds can be any and everything, right? And USCIS is, the US is a lot stricter on our sources of funds. So we've had everything from cryptocurrency. I mean, we've had discussion on source of funds and path of funds. How many issues have we seen with path of funds, especially coming from China and then dealing with other countries, industries, like they're like for India, for instance, the RBI, right? Their banking system and how these countries only allow X amount of money, and Bangladesh doesn't even allow any money to invest into any foreign investments. So we've seen a lot of things throughout the, not just this program, but just throughout like any global program.
Yeah, including how to renounce U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
But I think it's just because there's such an, we get so many interest. People come to us on not just EB-5, but they have these types of questions. And taxation is also huge. Unfortunately, that's why a lot of people want to renounce their citizenship. And then they're all looking for other global programs. So not, now we're seeing a lot of outbound immigration from the U.S.
Yeah. Well, they renounce because the I think that there's an element, again, of people rushing into U.S. citizenship or U.S. residency without really understanding. And what we often find, and here's where there has been a shift, is that a family will come because they want to bring their children over to go to university. Mm. The children love it at university. And because there's an emotional decision made, oh, we don't want to be far away from our children, so let's all shift over. And then what we have seen over the years is that after being here, the children have graduated, gone into work and decided, well, maybe we don't really want to stay here. Mm-hmm. And the parents certainly have that same feeling. And so that's where you are seeing more and more renunciations.
I think what we're seeing too is that a lot of shift in people want to travel, have a quick passport to be able to travel to more countries, right? Visa-free passports. They're interested in the U.S. program, but they want to take their time. Like you said, they want to make the right decision because taxation, U.S. does tax globally. So if you're making income from other countries, you have to think about that. And like you said, Mona, we tell you as it is, right? For our investors or anyone out there, even our listeners, we want to make sure we get the right information across. The EB-5 program isn't right for everyone, or it's something that someone might want to think about in the years to come. So I think that's where the podcast series has just, that's a source of getting good information.
Well, it makes people think.
Yeah.
But it's not just because of education that people want to come here. Some people want to be in this country just because they have the freedom to speak and to write and to say what they want. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many writers and journalists and professors come here simply because they have those freedoms.
Mm.
And they have access to some of the best academia in the world.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I think, obviously, US EB-5 is our expertise.
I think we're getting pretty good on the global areas.
I think we're seeing more and more coming for, like you said, we're seeing a lot more outbound. We're seeing even, like we said, others who are coming in who want the US, but also looking for another passport. I think it's a global world right now. People want to just have ease of access for traveling.
Well, I think all that changed since COVID, which brings me to my question, Rebecca. Which podcast do you recall you really enjoyed the most out of all these years? I know it's hard.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned COVID. And remember when we did, it was a special on the different types of projects out there. And we did counter-cyclical projects because COVID made such a difference to the world. It was interesting that we spoke to, I think, 13 different developers and getting their perspective on how things were going with their projects and how COVID affected it.
Yeah, that was interesting, mm-hmm. Especially at a time when we were all so bottled in and we couldn't speak to anyone.
But we made it fun. We were able to get others out there and get everyone involved. And we kind of kept it alive in that way. So we weren't bored. It wasn't boring, let's say.
Well, Rebecca and Mona, one of my favorite episodes is that one, the first one we did on the mandamus, and it really opened up my eyes because I know we talk a lot with the issues of filings and some of the delays that happen, and then the EB-5 department staffs up and then they take longer, but that really opened up my eyes of you can use legislation to get the government to do what they should be doing. So that was one of my favorites.
Well, I have mixed views on all of that now, Mark. Yes, it was great when it started, if mandamus was used appropriately. Unfortunately, I feel, and this is my opinion, I feel that mandamus was overused to a point now it doesn't really have an effect. And we have real cases and we can't even go forward with mandamus. In fact, just generally, the fact that litigation has really been synonymous with this program has hurt the program a lot. Unfortunately, we wouldn't have got where we've got without litigation too.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's been overdone. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. So I guess we need to be responsible with the podcast bump when we cover something and then it becomes popular because we've covered it. And what is the other side
true.
Of that sword?
That's true. We have to be responsible. And I think we have mentioned it because what we have seen is that every time someone has litigated, whether it's through a mandamus or something else, that if USCIS have come back with an RFE, it's been quite a brutal RFE. And it's been much more worse or much more stringent than it would have been had they not done a mandamus. Now, I know any people listening will jump up and down saying, well, no, I don't believe that. But I think we have too many examples.
I have felt it in your voice, Mona, when it's come up recently. And I think to Rebecca's point earlier, that's one of the reasons why we do a podcast. Because sure, you can write about these things. But when we start talking about it, when you hear our feelings and the inflection on our voice, it kind of gives you an indication of how we really feel about these things.
And I think because we've been in this industry for so long, we're able to see, okay, here's what happened. You know, you started with all these mandamus claims. It's worked out. But then give it X amount of years, and here we are today, and you're seeing issues. So I think because of how many years we've been in it and seeing it over time, now we're able to give you actual information of what's happening today.
Yeah, and the information isn't always great, and it's upsetting because, again, there have been a lot of not so nice things happening in this industry. We do like to always be positive. And while I think EB-5 is a fantastic program, unfortunately, it is the only way for many people. to get some kind of residency in the US. And yet there have been abuses. And whether or not it's been through the government abusing, and I will say government abusing, because right now I think it's highly, highly unfair how some people have been waiting years and years. We're talking 6, 8, 7, 8 years before their case is even adjudicated. And then there are silly denials, and then it goes and sits in appeals for years. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, that investors' money is being utilized by a project. We have seen instances where if there hadn't been delays, everybody would have got their money back and everybody would have been approved. And then a delay came, and then COVID came, and then everything was spoiled. And the project actually then ended up losing the money. Mm. We've seen the bad and the ugly with this.
Yes.
We've also talked about fraud cases, which unfortunately have happened. It always happens wherever there's money. Although there's not too many in comparison to how much I believe the media have brought it up, along with the good things.
Yeah, well, all the negative aspects of it are going to come out to the forefront versus all the good that has come out, right, through the programs. And it's not to say that, you know, every program out there has issues, and which we're going to discuss further too in the podcast series with all the different types of programs out there. But one of the interesting, like you said, Mona, return of capital, anything where we have discussed money and investment, those have been popular podcasts as well, just because
those would be the most popular podcasts.
Yeah, it was good for investors to hear, you know, because I mean, every issue you've had with like redeployment, what is redeployment? How come I'm not getting back my return of capital? Because unfortunately, like you said, the delays, you weren't able to get back your money. So those podcasts have been popular. On another note, we've had major events where podcasts have been popular as well. I remember our London event. We had quite a few snippets from other guests that were at the event. I think those have been popular, and hearing what's out there and what's going on.
Yes, and I think, as you remind me also, we had the live streaming of our Baruch event back in 2017, 2018, when we even had the IPO present.
Yes. And that's where I think social media, we have seen social media change throughout the years. You know, we went from writing articles to now, you know, producing and doing the podcast. And then we were able to do a YouTube live streaming. Who would have thought? So it's not only that, you know, at the time of the event, we had in person, anyone around the world, we had people sitting in India who were able to look into the event. And at the same time, it's still on our website today. So if you missed it, and anyone could go back in and listen into it.
Yeah, the joys of social media. Social media has definitely changed everything. Mm-hmm. But sometimes for the good and sometimes not so much.
Oh.
Because I have also seen how social media will take a comment out of context. And there's your voice with that comment. But again, it's out of context. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily always done the right thing. But the one thing we have always strived for, Mark, is we want to explain and talk about people's projects, different programs. We don't want to advertise. We're not here to advertise. We can tell you good things about programs and bad things about programs. But we don't want to say specifically, you must go to the Caribbean, or you must go to Portugal, or you must stay in the US. Here's the reasons why you might like to go to Portugal, or you might like to go to Greece. But I think it's important to give that the converse always.
Yeah,
I think we always have. I mean, we've given actionable insights, but we've also pointed out red flags, whether it's directly related to the topic or, you know, adjacent to that topic, or red flags that either we have seen or that some of our expert guests have seen. And of course, those all, you know, we've got the actual insights, the red flags. And of course, Mona, you've got your magic wand.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, there are some points that people won't speak up on. And we've been trying for a while to get a government person to come and speak on the Caribbean and all that's happening. And I don't think they are going to mention what is the issues. And some of the issues are within the program themselves. Look, every program's had problems. You know, we always talk about the US program having problems. The Caribbean, some of the islands went too low. They weren't doing their due diligence properly. And what is the result? They might all lose their Schengen visa, which will then take away the whole advantage of going to the Caribbean at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's important for us to discuss those types of topics, though. Like I said, at the end of the day, it's important to educate. It's important to have everyone understand why we're at this situation, what's happening. I don't think anyone should be left in the dark.
Well, we've certainly had some compliments from our listeners over the years as well. We constantly get them, actually, Mark. You know, we'll get the person who has even sent us gifts, like a poetry book and a thank you notes, and which is nice. It's always rewarding when you know that the other person, or the listener rather, has appreciated the effort that's been made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't thank our listeners enough, you know, and hope to continue on our journey and get more listeners onto our program.
We have lots and lots for the next 200 episodes, Mark. Be prepared.
I don't doubt you, Mona, because I didn't think that we could do 200 topics on EB5 alone, yet everything keeps changing. Things are in flux. There's always new insights. So yeah, I can definitely see 200 more episodes as this program, and in fact, the globe continues to evolve.
Don't forget, Mark, as well, that there are constantly new people coming to the industry, whether they're practitioners or whether they're investors, who don't know how EB5 has evolved.
Well, you know, Mona, I'm excited and looking forward to all these changes for us to bring in new programs and new speakers. Let's get this started.
And let's keep it going. Thank you for being with us today on Global Investment Voice. Do you want to get the most out of global migration and citizenship opportunities? Then head on over to our website at globalinvestmentvoice.com. From there, you can easily search and stream from hundreds of podcast episodes, as well as stay current with the latest migration news and investment opportunities by joining our insider newsletter. The topics presented in this podcast are informational in nature only and are not to be taken as specific legal, financial, or investment advice. Mona, Rebecca, and their legal staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com or by calling their New York office at 212-233-7473.